If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
So if you ask yourself questions like, why don't men ever choose me? Why can't I keep a man? Why does this keep happening to me? Why can't I get out of this cycle? Why can't I get the commitment? Why don't people choose me? This episode is for you. Yo, party people, it's Ashley of SingleWomanChronicles.com, where being single is a beautiful choice rather than a miserable circumstance. And today is a topic that I kind of was a little nervous to talk about, only because, you know, the title is going to probably, well, not probably, the title is going to already trigger the destitute living in their mother's basement, high value, low value man. Just because anytime you talk about losing a man or keeping a man or something involving a man, of course, the dusties come out. The dusties appear. Like, they pop out immediately when you talk about them, you know? When you talk about that kind of thing, because they love to try to rub in a single woman's face. Oh, that's why you can't keep a man. Oh, that's why XYZ is just like, give it a rest, honey. Give it a rest. But today was one of those days where, you know, as a podcaster, as a blogger, as a social media person, you have to keep up with the trends and the SEO and the XYZ. But today was a topic that I really wanted to speak from my heart, because I feel like those days when I really speak from my heart and I'm not trying to follow the trends or the gimmicks, those are the days that hit. Those are the episodes where it's like, yo, that helped me. So that's why I wanted to discuss this topic, because it came up. It made me think about it when I heard this radio segment of a young lady who called in one of these radio stations, and she was basically like, hey, y'all, I don't know why I can't keep a man. You know, I can get one, but I can't keep one. And it made me think about a conversation I had with a friend years ago in our 20s. And she was the girl who always had a boyfriend. And she was like, Ash, I always got a boyfriend, but I can't keep him. And so that made me laugh. But then I really thought about it and was just like, dang, what is that about? Like, what's going on with her and I? Because for me, I was stuck in this very vicious, toxic cycle where I would literally meet a guy. I would like him very much, very fast. We would have sex. Then I would get very anxious, do self-sabotage-y things, push him away. And this would like go on between 2 weeks and a month. And then it would end. And then the cycle will start again. I wasn't taking breaks. I wasn't, you know, analyzing the situation, trying to figure it out. I just kept doing it. And it was just such a dark place for me. And I feel like a lot of women go through this, but no one wants to admit this out loud. So they hide behind things like, oh, I don't need a man, or oh, whatever. What are some other sayings? I'm trying to think of sayings that I hear women who go through these vicious cycles. You know, the first one, of course, is, oh, I don't need a man. A man can't do nothing with, a man can't do nothing for me. Or the girls who are like, well, I sleep great at night knowing ain't nobody cheating on me. Those kinds of conversations. Like, you're hiding behind this false confidence when in real life, a lot of these women want a relationship. They want to be able to maintain relationships because that should be a goal. I don't know why in this society people make it seem like being alone is the goal. Being able to survive by yourself is the goal. That is not the goal. The goal is community. The goal is relationship. The goal is intimacy, right? Because I know me, I have a lot of friends and I'm proud of that. Like, relationship maintenance is huge for me. Like, I don't like losing friends. I don't like losing people out of my life. I don't like losing relationships unless they're like toxic or something, or they're doing, unless it's a relationship that's bringing me down. Even if it's a relationship where it's kind of like status quo and we cool, I don't even like losing those relationships. So I'm not that girl who's out here fronting. I am very open about the fact that I like people and I like when people like me. I'm not that person that yearns for attention anymore, because I used to be. But I do enjoy and value relationships. So those are big for me. So when you find yourself in those positions where you're losing people, it's not a badge of honor. It's not a badge of honor to continue to lose people. It's not a badge of honor to be alone. It's not a badge of honor to constantly feel like you can't keep friends, you can't keep a man, you can't do X, Y, and Z. I know society likes to make it seem like it is, but it's not. It is not. And some people, you do have seasons where you have to walk by yourself. But in reality, I feel like I have the type of audience that's mature enough, that's vulnerable enough to admit, like, there have been moments in my life where I felt like I couldn't keep relationships. I felt like I could not keep a man in that season. And I asked myself why. So this is a very vulnerable episode. This is one of those episodes where I don't need people trying to judge, and I need you to be vulnerable and tap into that space if that is you. So if you ask yourself questions like, why don't men ever choose me? Why can't I keep a man? Why does this keep happening to me? Why can't I get out of this cycle? Why can't I get the commitment? Why don't people choose me? This episode is for you, because this is only for a select few women. This is not for everybody. If the shoe don't fit, keep strolling, keep scrolling. Don't try to criticize these people, because a lot of y'all be saying, oh, that'll never be me. And y'all be doing a whole lot of nevering. And a lot of y'all are hiding behind walls that you can't even tear down because you can't be real with yourself. You can't heal with a shoe you won't reveal. And a lot of y'all not even revealing stuff to yourself because you are too afraid to let that wall down. Because if you let that wall down, you feel like people are going to judge you. So these are for the people who are honest enough to say that I have asked myself these questions and I would like to know the answer to them. So let's get into it. As I said before, I went through a period of time where I felt like I could not keep a man. I went through a period of time where I felt like I kept losing relationships. I kept losing men, and I did not know why. So there was this constant thing, like, I yearned for it so bad. Like, in college, like, I chased relationships so hard, like, so hard. And I don't want y'all to get confused. Like, my goal anytime, because I help frustrated women, I help frustrated single women find peace, date with confidence, overcome the obstacles keeping you single. Because a lot of the obstacles are self-inflicted obstacles. A lot of these obstacles are mental things. They're not things, it has nothing to do with your external. It has nothing to do with your weight. It has nothing to do with your body type. It has nothing to do with your personality, your accolades, or nothing. Regardless to what these podcast Negroes be telling y'all, no. A lot of it is a mental thing. A lot of it has something to do with us because we self-sabotage and we do all these things. And I want to help you overcome those obstacles. So it's not about the prize being to keep a man. No, I just want you to thrive in every relationship and be the best version of yourself so you don't find yourself questioning, is there something wrong with me? Am I the issue? Am I valuable? Does a man like want me enough? Because I know the women who follow me, I know y'all want long-lasting relationships. I know y'all want to maintain relationships. So that is why this episode is so important, because I don't want you insecure about what you bring to relationships. I don't want you questioning yourself when you enter or you start dating a person. Because I remember my therapist, she's so fire. I don't think she's practicing anymore, but she is amazing. And what's crazy is she is not a black woman. She is a white woman. And I know a lot of people will be like, oh, I want a black therapist because I'm a black woman and a white therapist won't understand me. Listen, I support everybody black. But at the same time, sometimes that woman that just so happens to be white, she might connect to you too, because that was mine. But I remember she was telling me, like, you are very high in worth when you're alone, but you question your value. You question your worth anytime you get in a relationship. And why is that? And I had to really take a step back and ask myself that, right? So let's go back to the full journey. For anyone who knows, I grew up without a father. So growing up without a father, already, you have the stereotypes of, oh, women without dads, they got daddy issues, they don't function properly, et cetera, et cetera. Baby, I'm so healed. Like, when I tell you, baby, I'm so healed, like, I have overcome that, but I had to work through that. So there was a point in my life where I did chase men because I never experienced that love. But I also never, I was never validated as a child. As a child, I was never validated. Even by my mom, I wasn't validated. But I don't blame her because she was never validated. So she didn't know. She was in survival mode. She's young. She, by 21, she had two kids. She was in survival mode. She didn't have those skills. My mom was the youngest of 13 kids. She was barely raised. So it's like, I understand that, right? But because I wasn't validated, because nobody told me I was worthy, told me I was beautiful, told me I was enough in the home, I was looking for it outside the home. What's crazy is I constantly had people outside of my home telling me, oh, you're pretty, oh, you're smart, oh, you're this. But at the same time, I still had those conflicting things because I was bullied in elementary school. I was bullied in middle school. I didn't really start to catch my swag until I moved to Atlanta at 14 and started getting attention. So for a long time, I questioned my value and I questioned my worth. So going into relationships, because I needed that validation so much, I always questioned, am I good enough for this person to choose me? Because I wasn't good enough to find that value in myself and validate myself because no one taught me that. That is a skill. We don't talk about that enough. We don't talk about how validating yourself, knowing your worth, knowing how amazing you are, is a skill that needs to be built at home first. And it needs to be built from when you are a toddler. Like, I see these videos now because mental health is more at the forefront of, especially now in the Black community. You see these videos of, you know, fathers and mothers letting their kids, like their young kids, 3, 4, 5 years old, making them recite affirmations at 3, 4, 5 years old, like, I am beautiful, I am smart, I am powerful, those types of things. They seem cliche, but they matter. Because what happens is when you don't get that stuff, because all of how we operate as adults, especially in relationships, it comes from childhood. It comes from how we were raised. It comes from how we viewed relationships. So I didn't get that as a child, so I didn't have the skill to validate myself. I did not develop that skill until I was in my late 20s on how to validate myself, how to know I'm beautiful. I always tell y'all, like, looking back at the pictures where I felt the least in self-esteem, I was freaking gorgeous, but I didn't have that power because no one told me, and I didn't believe it. Even when people told me I was, I did not believe it. And until you believe it, it don't matter what other people say. So you have to find yourself. You have to find yourself finding yourself valuable. You have to find yourself finding yourself beautiful. You have to find yourself finding yourself enough in these relationships. And it always sounds cliche, but it is real. So I went through this period where I was very self-sabotaging. Like, I always self-sabotage. Now, a lot of it had to do with the fact that I had an anxious attachment style. So I'm big on attachment style on this channel. I always talk about it. I always talk about how the book Attached. I can't remember the authors, but it's a very popular book. You can get it on Amazon. It's called Attached. A-T-T-A-T-C-H-E-D. Attached on Amazon. Book changed my life because I knew I was anxious attachment because I do have a master's in positive psychology. So I studied it. But although I had the knowledge, I did not have the skills to operate to my highest level of competency with this in relationships, not even in friendships. I feel like I always do better in friendships, but in romantic relationships, I was feeling poorly. So what I mean is, when you have an anxious attachment style, that means as a child, you did not get enough care and attention. So you cling to relationships very heavily because you fear that people are going to not give you that attention you need or abandon you, right? So you end up clinging to relationships. As soon as you meet someone, you get very attached very quickly. So what that does is it makes you question everything, overthink, you get anxious at every slight move. Like that person, say for example, that person texts you every day at 8 a.m. If they don't text you at 8 a.m. by 8:05, you are in a whole uproar of emotions. You're confused. You think they're going to leave you. You don't know what's going on. You about to go crazy. You texting your friends like, do you think I did something? Did I say something wrong? Et cetera, et cetera. Listen, it is so hard to operate with an anxious attachment style, but it can be done because right now I'm way more secure, but I'm humble enough to say that if put in the right circumstance, oh baby, I can go back to anxious really quickly. But I just know the tools and I know what to do and what not to do. I know how to set boundaries. I know how to say no. I know how to pace myself to not end up in those situations. So that was number one of why I kept losing men. And at that point in my life, I just wanted relationships so bad. I think the second thing I did after understanding my attachment style was I stopped idolizing being in relationships. So I went through this period of time where I felt like being in a relationship.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Was better than being single. I hated being single. I felt like the goal was relationships. Like, I chased that thing so hard. I literally felt like long-term relationships were better than short-term relationships. People who are in relationships are always going to be happier than people who are out of relationships. Like, I really had that belief. And it was so bad. Like, I would just chase every dude. Like, every single dude I met, I would latch on to him. Every single dude I met who was decent, I would latch on to him. I would, you know, have sex really quickly. That's how I ended up celibate, child, because I was like, this has got to give. This is crazy. But I just really had that belief that relationships are better. So I had to stop idolizing relationships. I idolize relationships so heavy. And I think that's why now I'm in this space where I don't idolize marriage. I want marriage, but I don't idolize it. At a point I did. I know, like, in my late 20s, I definitely idolized marriage. I felt like being married was the goal. Being married was the prize. But I think now I want it, but I don't feel like it's necessarily the prize. Now, if I don't get married, I would be sad. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to die. Like, if that makes sense. But it's like, I had to remove it off of the pedestal because I put it on this pedestal. So what ended up happening was at some point, because I kept going through this vicious cycle of losing men, I told myself, the next guy who wants to be in a real relationship with me, I'm going to say yes. I don't care how toe up he is. I'm just going to say yes because I'm tired of being single and I have to prove it to myself that I can be in a relationship and that I can keep a man. Because again, I needed external circumstances to validate something that I couldn't validate in myself. So in myself, my brain was telling me like, you can't keep a man. So in order to prove yourself wrong, in order to prove to everybody else was a nobody child, because wasn't nobody judging me or watching me that hard, right? And if there were people, who cares? It was really something I was trying to prove to myself that I could keep a man. So I said, the next person, I'm just gonna say yes. And that's how I ended up in the worst relationship I ever been in, because I was just like, I don't care how toe up he is, I'm gonna say yes. And that's what I did. And I told myself, because I had never been in a relationship longer than 3 months, that I have to stay in this relationship for at least a year. And I stayed in that toxic relationship for a year. And I'm telling y'all, I'm not kidding y'all, after like a year and 3 weeks, I ended it with him because I did it. I was like, well, I did this for a year. But at the same time, it wasn't that easy to like walk away from him. because I was very attached to him. We had like this crazy emotional roller coaster going on. So you already know that's very addictive. And I had to pray my way out of that relationship, like literally pray my way out of it. So, but at the same time, I know a part of me was counting like, okay, I know in the past I was unable to get past this certain time frame. So now I have to get past this certain time frame. And I did. And I was like, okay, cool. I can do it now. Like, it was a little bit easier after that. But in a relationship, I was getting cheated on. I was getting emotionally abused. I was getting used and taken advantage of. Like, it was just a lot going on. And I stayed just because I was trying to prove to myself that I could. So it was like that validation that was needed. Also idolizing relationships, right? The other thing was I put so much pressure on myself to feel like I could keep a man longer than a certain period of time. Every dude I talked to, like, I would time it. Like, it was really bad. I can't explain it, but I'll try to give you an example. Like, anytime I started talking to a dude, I would really be counting calendar days because I was stuck in this cycle where I couldn't get past a month after a while. So I'm just like, oh, I had to count this. Like, okay, that one lasted 27 days. Okay, ooh, that one lasted 32 days. Ooh, that one lasted 62 days. Like, it was really bad. I had this infatuation because, again, I was trying to prove to myself that I could do it. I could keep a guy. It's not me. Because if I proved that I could, then that meant that it wasn't me. But honestly, it wasn't me. It was my beliefs. It was how I saw myself. Because I saw myself lower in value, because I didn't know if people actually liked me, I constantly questioned myself. I constantly wondered if a guy really liked me. I remember God has, he's so amazing because he has given me so many scenarios where I talked to guys back in the day when I felt so low and they told me like, I actually liked you, but they say stuff like, you know, you kind of just pushed me away when I didn't want to be in a relationship super fast. I was just really trying to get to know you, but you pushed me away. And it was just that I felt like if a guy didn't want to be in a relationship with me after 2 days of meeting, like what was like, what's going on? I don't understand. But I think that happens a lot when women are. I just had this conversation with a friend yesterday. There's a lot of overcorrecting going on right now in society. And in overcorrecting, often people overcorrect because they're in defense, they're in survival mode, and overcorrecting almost always leads you to the exact opposite result of what you want. I'm gonna give you an example. Say you're so used to men taking advantage of you and not leading, not wanting to pay for dates, not doing XYZ. So you tell yourself, I'm never gonna date a guy who doesn't lead, and if he's not coming at me and throwing that money at me and on some city girls, like giving me money up front, I'm never going to talk to him. So you find yourself in situations and you're overcorrecting. So you're like, I only want to date a rich guy. I only want to date a guy like this, just because you're so afraid of getting taken advantage of that you go so far left that you still end up getting taken advantage of, because those guys, they're going to love bomb you. They're going to throw their money at you, but they're often not going to respect you. A lot of them be lying to you because they, of course, they can throw their money at you up front, but you don't know their character. You don't know what they got going on for real. And a lot of those guys who are super performative up front, they got something to hide on the back end. That's why they're super performative. Most men, they're very status quo, because what men do a few things right. One of the things they do right is men start at zero when they date women. Women, we usually start at 100. We're in love on day one, and then they start to do little things that bother us, and then we fall out of love. But men start at zero. Because men start at zero, they're not throwing everything out, especially a man with good intentions. See, a man with good intentions, he don't want to be used just like you don't want to be used. So he's taking his time to fill you out. He's pacing himself. So he's not going to do all that grand stuff in the beginning. So that's what I was looking for. I was looking for grand stuff because I didn't have that confidence to validate myself. So that was another reason. Like, I kept going for the wrong types of guys because I was looking for those grand gestures, and dudes who give grand gestures up front are narcissists, are manipulative. These are guys who really don't have good character. So they lead with their money. They lead with their love bombing because they don't have nothing else to offer. Okay. So I just had really bad taste. So it wasn't me. It was just how I looked at myself, how I viewed myself, how I dated. It was really bad. But eventually in my late 20s, when I really started to do the hard work, which y'all, that hard work's still working. Okay. it happened in layers because healed is never a finish line. We're going to always be healing for the rest of our life, right? Life, right? But it's about progress. It's about progression. Like, I do this less. I don't do that no more at all. Like, it's certain parts. So one of the biggest breakthroughs is now when I date people, I don't count. I don't count how long I'm talking to this person. I don't do whatever. Two, when stuff don't work out, I don't question myself. I don't say, why didn't he choose me? Why didn't he fight for me? I'd be like, oh, okay. Wasn't meant. Moving on. Like, I don't question me. And that's why it's so huge to find yourself and understand who you are and understand how you operate and understand what you really need. Because when you don't know, every time someone leaves your life, you're going to wonder why. Also, every time someone comes into your life, you're going to try to adjust who you are to fit their needs instead of remaining who you are and letting them fit your needs and y'all meeting in the middle. Because everybody just not for you. Some folks not going to be for you. And that's okay. I know that's hard to accept because we all want everybody to like us, but that's just not reality. Some folks you not going to like. Some folks not going to like you. And that is okay. Some people you going to meet and you're going to be like, dang, that person is cool, but I can't see myself marrying him. And that is okay. So I think we're so tightly gripped to like having everyone like us and everyone accept us because there's a small bit of insecurity within ourselves that we need to fix. But I think for me now, I know for me now, I'm so solid in who I am. I'm so educated in who I am that stuff just doesn't bother me. So I stopped losing men when I found myself because now I understand where all of that dating cycle crap came from, that toxicity came from, that choosing from the bottom of the barrel came from, that settling came from. Like, I understand it and I get it. I understand what I need. I understand a certain level of attention that I need. So if someone comes in my life and they don't fit it, I'm okay with that. So nowadays, I don't lose men. We just part ways when it's just not right. I also don't chase situations. So I'm just kind of in this space where it's like, like, I haven't had a situation in years where I felt like, oh, dang, I lost that person. But back in the day, I felt like I did push a lot of people away and our relationships weren't able to really thrive because I was so anxious. I was self-sabotaging. I was pushing them away. I was feeling like, oh, this guy's too good for me. So let me go ahead and leave this before he leaves me. Like, I was doing a lot of those things, but now I don't do that. So if a situation doesn't work out, it's just kind of like, oh, that didn't work because we just weren't supposed to, right? Because I'm really dating intentionally. So that is how I found myself and stopped losing men. And again, it has nothing to do with that being the goal. It's just more so a place of peace. Because again, I want to help y'all overcome the obstacles that I overcame that were keeping me single. Right now, I confidently believe, because y'all, sometimes I be talking to my friends and I be talking to other women. Sometimes we do be a little insane. Like, I don't like to agree with men on stuff like that when they be calling women crazy or like too extra or they're like tripping. But sometimes we do be tripping because I be talking to my friends and the stuff they be saying and asking for, I be like, what are you saying right now? Like, what's going on? And so me, I'm just very logical. And I also like pace myself and I understand what I want and I understand what I need. And I understand that those needs and those wants are not crazy. Like, they're not irrational. They're not coming from an overcorrection. They're really coming from a place of, I'm at peace. I'm confident. I'm willing to take a risk on love, but I just need that right person. So I'm just very like at peace right now. But I felt like this was a good topic just because I know a lot of women are probably questioning themselves because they're in that vicious cycle where everything keeps ending the same. Like, it'll start different. You'll meet a guy and you're going to say your favorite line. Oh, this one's different. He's XYZ. And then he ends up being the same. And you're probably wondering, like, dang, what did I do wrong? What happened? What's this? What's that? What's X, Y, Z? And it's just like you're questioning it. And it could be just because you haven't found yourself enough. You haven't validated yourself enough. You haven't done enough of that self-work. And I hate that because I hate when people say, love yourself and love will find you. Shut up. Sometimes you love yourself. You done the work. You just waiting. And that's okay. But for those women who are in that place where you're questioning, like, dang, why is it never me? And all of that stuff like that, that has a lot to do with how you see yourself. If you're valuing yourself, and most likely you're not, and you don't know yourself enough to recognize it, and it's probably a blind spot. So I just want to open you up to, okay, let's see the bigger picture. Is there a blind spot? Is there something you're missing? Is it... Dang, you might listen to this episode and be like, dang, my stuff do kind of be in the same all the time. You know what I mean? So hopefully, again, this helps. And I look forward to the comments. If you do want to connect with me, because I do offer coaching, and I love helping you recognize what your blind spots are so you can thrive, go ahead and hit me up, info@singlewomanchronicles.com, so I can help you through this, because I do want you to overcome the obstacles keeping you single and also overcome the obstacles that are keeping you miserable in your singleness, because sometimes being single is not bad or doesn't suck. I think a lot of people look at it like, oh, it sucks, I'm miserable, this is like awful, how do I find that peace? I can definitely help you find that, because I had to do that. I had to be in this space. It took me a long time to be where I am right now. A long time. So I want to help you overcome that. So hit me up if you want some coaching. I do have something coming up. I'm so excited about it. I don't even want to tell y'all because I don't want nobody to steal my idea. So I'm probably just going to drop it and then just let y'all know. But y'all look out for it. But it's just going to be helping us to be better in our single season and just to be better at resetting. Because I think too many times, sometimes we get exhausted out here in these dating streets because we don't do enough resetting. We don't do enough analyzation. Either we out here, we dating, and then we quit and we're like, I'm over it. This sucks. And there's an in-between. So I'm excited to release that. But in the meantime, like, comment, share, subscribe. That's what I meant to say. Like, comment, share, subscribe. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify or Amazon, be sure to give me 5 stars. If you ain't gonna give me 5 stars, don't give me no stars at all. I'm just saying, don't be messing up my star because you having a bad day. Because I know me, if I don't like something enough to give it 5 stars, I just won't rate it. So that's just where I'm at. But all right, y'all, till next time. Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.